Psalms 32 this morning for a beginning. We would have to say this morning has long troubled me. I guess because I know it by experience. I see in today, in our day, advertisements on the TV over and over. How man can say this little prayer and come to Jesus. And he'd be accepted because he died for all men. And out and out, it's an absolute lie. I don't see any broken and contrite heart in it. Any sackcloth and ashes. And it gives man reason to think that his sin is not that sinful, or that he could put it into categories and they say, well, my sin isn't as bad as that fellow's sin. And my sin is not bad enough that God would punish. And they lay it aside. And it's so easy. But a man cannot come to God outside of a broken and contrite. Well, put it another way, he will not. Because he can put it off. But if God lays the punishment upon him, and I said there's a difference between punishment and chastisement. If he puts the anger upon him that is justified, he will turn. But outside of the grace of God, he will not. And repentance is a grace. Outside of repentance, there is no salvation. They're so tied together that you cannot separate them. And this stuff I've been hearing, and this is what I can't imagine nowadays, that it would be on national TV, this advertisement. And I've seen it over and over and over. And I know for a fact that it looks so good that you could just be that careless and come to the Lord in any way you... It's kind of like, well, just come how you are. Well, there's some truth in that, coming how you are. You can't get righteous enough to come before the Lord. But be careful. It is the work of the devil. The Lord said, you go all over the world and across the sea to make one proselyte and then make him twofold more the child of the devil than he was. In the 32nd Psalm said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Now the Lord came to save those and bless them that are his. That's who is blessed. Who is blessed? That man of a contrite heart, a broken heart. That's who the Lord comes to, those that are humble. And how can you be that way outside of being brokenhearted? Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. all have it. And it's imputed unto every man outside of repentance and forgiveness. And in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou gavest the iniquity, thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. But there must be a confession. And they have misused this also over the years. Well, just come down here and confess your sin. And that's this little prayer they put forth. Well, just tell the Lord you're sorry. And man cannot, will not, and cannot do that. Not in all truth and sincerity. He's not going to do it. And there has been so many people, all these mega churches, you understand, that's what they're full of. People that have made some little sort of profession of faith, they call it. We profess to believe. And there again, I tell you, just try to tell a man, just believe. If the Lord doesn't lay it up on his heart to believe, he's not going to ever believe. He's going to run the other way. He's at enmity with God. And he's not going to do what he ought to do. Romans, the second chapter, just a few verses here to go. Verse 1 said, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same thing. We're all guilty of the same thing. And this is something else. A man's conscience is always telling him about his transgression. But he'll lay it aside. It's easy to lay it aside. We all know that too from experience. It's an easy thing to do. And then verse 2, he said, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Well, the answer is no. That's simple. No, it's coming. Look for it. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Well, Lord is long-suffering. But there is a point that it is over, too. Then you call that reprobate because he keeps putting his sin in different categories. Well, it's not that bad that the Lord would not punish, but the Lord punishes every sin. He laid them all upon our Lord at Calvary. Every sin. And then would we think that we somehow, mere man that could come before God in our natural state, I say natural, the one we acquired in the garden, could we come to him in that natural state without repentance, without being sorrowful for our sin? Could we just lay it aside that simple? Yeah, that's what we do. That's the reason that he put the flaming sword at the Garden of Eden, that man could not go back in there in that natural state to guard the way of the tree of life. So that man couldn't partake of it in his natural state and live forever. The Lord is not going to allow it. He's going to take it away. In the book of Acts, the 5th chapter, I find, thinking on these things, the book of Acts is full of repentance. Over and over. Fifth chapter, verse 29. It said, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Of course, this is a subject to something else. But he said, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. It doesn't come first place of man. They're trying to tell man, well, you can come and do it. But it was the grace of God that he gave it to who? Israel. Then and now. It's a whole different Israel than what man thinks of. He can't think of no other one but that old earth that Israel over there. But this is who the Lord give it to. You understand? Give it. Not in the Butte. Man cannot go and get it. It's a grace of God that man would ever find repentance. He'd have to show us what it is. In the 11th chapter, in verse 15, he said, and as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Well, the Holy Ghost come down, didn't he? Who's doing the preaching here? Really, the Holy Ghost. And that then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, for as much then as God gave them, the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Don't think you're going to just walk up and take it from the Lord. That's what's being preached. You can just get it. You don't have to get down in sackcloth and ashes either. No use in you getting down that low. Y'all understand what sackcloth is? It's the roughest kind of material. Yeah, tosa. You understand what ashes is? It's the lowest form. It's consumed. That's what it means, be consumed. If a man is consumed in this manner, then he will turn to the Lord. But the punishment that comes before then is grace. There's grace in the law. Even though it kills, there is grace in the law, and the grace is of the Lord. 2 Corinthians Second Corinthians, the 7th chapter, in verse 8. He said, "For though I make you sorry with a letter, I do not repent." This is a different kind of repent here now. He just wasn't sorry that he sent it. Because it was going to do him good. Going to cut him a little, but it would help him. "Though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorrow, though it were but for a season." You know, that's what's good about it, isn't it? If it knocks you down, it's just for a while. You get up. "Joy cometh in the morning. Now I rejoice not that ye were made sorrow, but that you sorrowed to repentance." This is where the joy is. "For ye were made sorrow after a godly manner, that ye might receive the damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Behold this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what cleaning of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things, you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter." Your conscience was clear. It clears it out. It don't keep nagging a man and say, "You better get to doing something." No. It makes the conscience clear that a man might rest in the Lord. But isn't it good when a man sorrows unto repentance? It leads a man then to look for the righteousness of God. In the book of Isaiah, the 55th chapter, how many times we come back to Isaiah? Yeah. I guess verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near." Now, not the way they're trying to teach today. Better not try that, it won't work. He said, "Let the wicked forsake his way." Here's the first thing, see. If repentance springs out on man, then he will seek that way. And the unrighteous man, his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him. Now, another thing I'd have you to note, that repentance isn't a one-time thing. We repent, and we repent, and we repent. You don't ever get completely perfect in this old body. So it's perpetual. But it's of the Lord. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as rain cometh down in the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be. It goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I sent it. So it's a grace of God that any man would ever repent. And it's the grace of God and the sanctification of God that continues causing man to repent.
It's only the child of God that can repent. But I will say one thing about repentance. There's two repentances, really. One is repentance toward God. That's the first one. What is repentance toward God? Well, it's the clearing of the soul, the spirit, of that rebellion toward God. And from that point on, then, there is, as J.T. said, a constant repentance. Probably isn't a single day that goes by that we do not have repentance. Now, sometimes it's more severe than others, but there is always that need to repent. How many of you ever lived a day in your life that you didn't sin? Even if it wasn't but just a thought, a wrong thought. But, you know, all day, yeah, JT, it's sin's called mistakes. Yeah. They're just mistakes. Not really sin, but talking about the grace, you know, that being in the law, the apostle said, if the law had not said, thou shalt not covet, I had not known, or lust, I had not known covetousness. Boy, if God brings you to know these things, is that not grace? Is that not mercy? Sure it is. But we can have a clear conscience, can't we? Now, the conscience itself, it won't do you any good. J.T. said that a while ago. You can talk yourself out of all that. That, you know, well, I didn't really mean that, or, you know. You can't talk the Holy Ghost out of conviction. But the writer of 10th chapter of Hebrews tells us that in that repentance, we do have a clear conscience. He has no more conscience of sin. And that's where the peace is, isn't it? And he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. What a blessing it is that God leads us to repentance.